This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I'm a huge believer in digital signage software and solutions companies that narrowly define their vertical market and then go after it, as opposed to the many companies out there that say, in effect, we do digital signage. Those kinds of general offers can be deadly, I think, when there's so much competition. So I was intrigued by an email from Trilby TV that talked about its focus on the education market in the UK, and even more intrigued by the marketing line that the platform and service was built by people who understand and work in education. I had a chat with Trilby TV co-founder Neil Emery about how the six-year-old company was founded based on years of working in UK schools, doing Apple and Google training. They saw all the dead screens and bad programming in schools that they visited and concluded that they could deliver something better. Neil, thank you for joining me from beautiful Devon. I was struck by the assertion on your website that Trilby is the only digital science platform built by people who understand and work in education. What do you mean by that?
So we were Apple trainers, Apple education trainers for 12 years. To start with, back in the days when schools had lonely suites of iMacs that, you know, only the art teacher and the design teacher would allow sort of their students on. Mm. Everybody else looked in and thought, what are these computers? But for us, it was about an Apple. It was about making sure everybody knew the power of, you know, things like the iLive suite, things like iMovie and GarageBand. So that's where we started training with Apple and its IT resellers, the sort of companies that sold Apple. And then the iPad came out and it went completely bonkers for us as accredited trainers for Apple. And we would work with lots of schools, especially those that were going one-to-one with iPad, to make sure they had a vision and a plan. Mm. So we really understand what needs to be in place for technology to be successful. That tends to be where schools and colleges fall down a little bit. You know, they tend to rush in and buy technology, but they don't think about what needs to be in place to make it successful. And there's a lot that needs to be in place. And we were involved in some of the biggest one-to-one iPad projects in the UK, such as Harlow College, such as Portsmouth College. So we've got a real understanding, again, of what needs to be in place. And that's very much how we, you know, present ourselves with digital signage as well. It's not just about sticking screens on walls. We work very hard with our customers, especially our groups of school customers, to make sure that they have a plan in place, you know, to make sure that staff are signing up to that plan so that there's some consistency across what they're uploading to their digital signage. So that's what we mean. We're very education focused, and that tends to be very different than other companies that are out there.
Yeah, there are any number of companies who have laid it down that education is one of their key verticals, but, you know, that's much more business driven and, you know, addressable market driven than in most cases any real experience with the education system.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we started Trilby TV is because when we were sat in those school receptions waiting for a member of staff to come and grab us, we would look at a digital signage screen that was turned off, or if it wasn't turned off, it was showing content we felt had little impact. And that's again, because they had no plan behind it. You know, someone had bolted some screens to a wall. Someone had bought into an overcomplicated solution that was meant for the commercial space, and people had given up. And, you know, we were there to create really rich content on those iPads because that's what Apple are all about. Everyone can create. But there was no nice, simple mechanism for us to share that to screens around the school or college. And we felt signage was the perfect mechanism to share that content and evidence the learning so that everybody could feel proud. But again, what was in place back then was not meant for education, and the people behind it didn't understand it, education to the degree that we felt we did. And that's how Trilby TV was launched and developed.
Okay. So when did that happen?
6 years ago now. Yeah, we gave up everything we were doing with Apple and Google at the time. We'd just written Google's transformational planning workshop in the UK. Well, that was mainly down to my co-director, Ben Stanley, who is extremely knowledgeable in that education space. His company, Trilby, that he used to run with his father, hence Trilby TV, they've been going 30 years of working in education. So again, huge amounts of experience. But Trilby TV as a single product, 6 years we've been going now.
Okay, so it was more of an evolution of what you were doing, as opposed to, all right, we used to run a funeral parlor and now we're doing this.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, we did lots of things. I mean, we did the training piece for Apple, and that kept us very busy because, you know, we were presenting not just for Apple, but again, for its resellers that sold Apple. We were doing direct training for Apple all over the world, not just in education as well. We were doing video production. We were doing lots of stuff. And I think lots of people probably looked at us and thought, well, it's great, but what do you do? So after sitting in all those receptions for so long, we just knew there was a product needed that was a bit more honest than what was out there in this space. And that's really what made us jump into being brave and developing Trilby TV into the platform that it is now.
So it's one thing to have the subject matter expertise and the understanding and the business contacts within the education market. What do you do though on the software/platform side that makes it differentiated, that is, makes it finely tuned to at the education system?
Yeah, well, the first one was ease of use. I mean, we'd spent lots of time training education staff who were so nervous about technology that even if you put a URL on the board and ask them to put it in their iPad, if they put it in wrong, they would present the iPad to you to put it in because, you know, mm-hmm. And that's so far out of their comfort zones. And we'd seen from those early apps like Class Dojo, iMovie, Explain Everything, those early apps, successful ones, Book Creator, Shobi, that there was usually a plus icon. You'd press that plus icon and pretty quickly something would happen so that a teacher or a member staff would feel like they'd had a success, which means then they would move on to the next stage. And that's absolutely how we've built Trilby TV, to be so simple that there's no need for IT departments to be micromanaging our platform or people. So that was the main one. Secondly, we've made it work across all platforms. So we didn't want to charge our customers for expensive boxes, which had happened in the past. I'm not saying wrongly, but you know, that's where a lot of the solutions made their money. But we have player apps for iOS, tvOS, macOS, Windows, and Chrome. So some of our schools will use anything from a Fire Stick to an Apple TV to a Microsoft Nook. It doesn't matter. They can use whatever they've got to get going with us. Unlimited screens. So we didn't want to charge them a per screen price. We wanted them to see the impact that Sinus can have and to be able to grow their estate without us charging them more. So we have an unlimited screen license, which since then others have followed. We've certainly seen that in the market. Some of those who look at us and what we do have moved down that route as well. So it's definitely that something that set us out as a USP. And the last one probably is our content catalog, where we have a catalog of free of charge content that we make with exciting companies out there like WWF or Britannica. So there would probably be the four main areas that we focus on.
So these would be like, there's a lot of subscription content out there. There's companies like ScreenFeed and Scenespire and so on. They focus on news, sports, weather, curated, user-generated material, all that sort of thing. It sounds like you've gone down a completely different path that's all about the sort of thing that you would expect to see in a school and that both parents and educators would be, you know, receptive to.
Yeah, well, I mean, we looked at that historical digital signage, you know, And it was very much zones and ticker tape and news feeds. And that doesn't do anything for education. Actually, news can be very biased. So that's the last thing children or visitors mm-hmm. need to see in a school reception. And plus, that zonal content, it was for us, it was confusing to the viewer. So A, we wanted to make their content look full screen and beautiful, which is all that's on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I still get people, though, who still want a clock and ticker tape, even though there's a clock next door to the screen. Yes. Anyway.
Makes me crazy.
Yeah. But we went down the route of thinking about what content, a couple of reasons, really, what would inspire them to do more of their own good content, but what could we provide that has an education focus and keeps their screen up to date and interesting? So for example, the collaboration we did recently with Britannica, the encyclopedia people that us older people will be well aware of, is we do a country of the week. So if you download that free of charge to your Trilby TV and add it to your screens, every week it updates itself, you'll get a country of the week, capital city, population, and five revolving facts. And that's all done within a nice animation. So, it's a nice, useful area for you to have a look at. And if there's content in there that will help keep your screens up to date and inspire the viewers, then perfect. It's all free of charge and you're more than welcome to use it.
So how does it work within schools? Like what are they using the screens for and where are they putting them?
Historically, signage, as you know, has been about for a long time now. So mm-hmm. a lot of signage historically, I think, went in with some of the new schools, the building schools for the future as brought in by Labour government. So a lot went into areas like receptions and the dinner halls and your staff rooms and the student corridors. And again, the problem was back then is the platforms were very commercial driven. So again, it was your clocks, logos, ticker tapes, and maybe you were allowed to mix in a few pictures as well, if you were lucky. What we do now with schools is I had the training session I had today with Puttridge High School I had head of HR, I had the reception lady, and I had the repo graphics lady. And we started off by having some sticky notes, and I got them to write where the screens were. Then I got them to write underneath who the viewers were. And then from there, we started to define what the content was. So we worked really hard with our customers to make sure that they're putting in that simple plan so they understand screens, viewers, and what content needs to be derived from that. But very much historically, it is reception, staff room, dinner hall, and student corridors, which is where the screens are.
Do they do... things like this is the lunch menu today or the lunch menu this week, that sort of thing. It's an example that I've seen a number of times.
Yeah, absolutely. And the nice thing is nowadays with mechanisms like Google Slides is actually you can add a Google Slides for a menu and the staff in the dinner hall don't even know we exist because the Google Slides presentation is online. As soon as they change that, it automatically changes on the screens, which mm-hmm. is great, So yeah, absolutely. But we also get them to think about, well, don't just put a Google Slides or a menu up there. How about photos of the food? We all are engaged by food programs on TV now where we see the final product and we think, wow, I'd want to eat that. So, we say to our schools, well, how about you get some of the students to take some nice photos of the food? Or actually they're in food tech, food technology. Let's have a video of a lasagna being made and put some of that up on the screen. So we try and again, get them to think slightly differently than just putting a static menu on their screens.
Do students get involved?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where we came from. We remember the early days of accessing those screens, putting the students' work on there and seeing how proud they were when it was playing in reception. So that's something we push quite highly. And especially our Apple Distinguished schools. So we do, again, we're historic with Apple. So we have schools that have Apple Distinguished status. They would have a group of digital students who would create content on a regular basis before uploading that to us, where it's then moderated by someone above them staff-wise before it goes live. Absolutely. It's a great thing to be doing.
It sounds like your platform is largely cloud-based and that you've got a kind of a web player that will work across different types of devices, as you were describing. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So we are cloud-based. We use Microsoft Azure for all our hosting. So mm-hmm. that's what we use. And then we have pure you can have web players as well, but we have pure apps available. So you go to the Windows App Store or the Play Store, or you know, the Mac App Store, and you download our player app and it does that.
Okay, so it's a native player for like the Apple TV and so on?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So you open it up and you get your regular code that pretty much everybody else does nowadays.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
One of the things that can be a challenge in schools, because IT resources are pretty limited, is how do you manage the devices remotely?
We have a player dashboard within Trilby TV. Mm-hmm. So you can see all your players that are online. We're just bringing out some new player updates as well. So you'll be able to set restarts and clear cache and adjust volume and all that sort of stuff. So it can all be very much managed remotely.
I assume one of the benefits and advantages you have over companies who are also in the digital signage space and have software, but don't know the school systems and so on, is you understand how administration works, where budgets come from and budget cycles and all that sort of stuff. Does that give you a leg up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's education's, you know, you're not in it to get, not that we are anyway, but you're not going to get rich overnight with education. I mean, they take a long time to trust you. But once they're with you, they're with you for a long time. We're really close to our customers, and we want to be close with our customers because we want to make sure that they're using it properly. But of course, all of that experience and all of that knowledge that we now have from those, well, from Ben's point of view, 30 years, and from my point of view, 15 years. Yeah, of course, when we're talking to a potential customer, they understand pretty quickly. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I watch the web analytics off of 16.9 and what people are reading, and always there's a big thirst out there for open source or free or freemium platforms. And there's Exibo down in Brighton, that area, that's free-ish, and ones like it out there. I'm curious, for schools who are on limited budgets, do they go down the path of trying to use open source stuff or very low cost stuff, and then realize that we need some handholding here? It would be great to have some support, and they kind of rethink their budgeting and who they should work with.
Well, everyone's different, right? And I think with IT, that's the buying mechanism for digital signage in education over here. You're always going to get some IT people who really enjoy coming up with their own stuff, mm-hmm. an open source.
I mean, IT people are know-it-alls?
Well, I didn't say that.
I did.
Okay. Well, we have to be careful because, you know, then that's who buys our product. So, they just like that. It's not important, maybe it is a little bit, that they know everything about this solution and no one else can get in there and find out, because they wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. But actually, when they ask themselves about the time it takes to keep an eye on it and monitor it and update it, then it's wasting their time, which is then where we win the battle of, Neil, this is so easy to use. I can give ownership to others. I can set it up, but actually I can give ownership to others and let them get on with it, which is what they want in the end. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be managing what is in essence a marketing tool, because that's what digital signage is. It's a marketing tool. So, they might, you know, budget wise, you might have a USB stick, you might have a laptop, although that always makes me laugh because a laptop is budget and it'd be better off in the classroom, but that's just my thoughts. But you know, we're £1,000 for unlimited screens. It's not a huge amount of money for a whole solution that runs your digital signage, but you're dead right. I think it's, some will start off, you know, trying to come up with something themselves, but they soon find out that it's causing them a lot more pain than they want it to.
Right. So when you say £1,000 for an unlimited license, that's per school, or is it a school system, or how does that work?
No, that's our single per school cost.
Okay, yeah.
You know, some of our schools have up to 40 screens, which is where it becomes very financially viable for them. We do have a multi-site license as well. You know, we have some of the big multi-academy trusts using Trilby TV now in the UK. They pay a cost at a trust level, which then significantly reduces the per school costs. So
right.
Under a multi-site license, it's only 500 per school rather than the 1,000.
So it's kind of like an enterprise license as opposed to software as a service. It's you buy it one time, it's perpetual, and then do you pay for support, or how does that work?
Oh, no, sorry. It's a yearly subscription.
Oh, okay.
So it's a yearly subscription, which again, everybody pretty much is nowadays.
Right. Does the demand and the use differ between what over in Canada they would call public schools or private schools? But I know I get confused as hell because public schools or private schools in the UK and so on. Are there needs and the way they use the system different?
Private schools here, obviously that's the schools where students or their parents pay for them to be at school.
Yes.
and often boarding. They have so much more resourcing. Obviously, you know, you've got IT teams of 12 people, whereas in a state school, you might have a team of two people sometimes if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I think independent private schools are able to shine those screens a lot more. So because of the resource, they're sharing much more rich content. They have time to create that content and make it look good on the screens. They have a strategy in place to do that a lot of the time. Whereas your public schools, often because the lack of resource, are struggling for ideas, but also for people to create the ideas and create the content. For us, I mean, we would see the content being pretty much the same across the school sector. It would change a little bit for colleges and university. It definitely changes for primary schools, which is, you know, your lower age schools.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's more about sharing and showcasing student work at that lower age group. But no, I think for us, it's about educating our schools and our colleges right across the board that this is an extension of the website. This is a great marketing tool, and they need to be thinking about what content is shown on those screens.
Are you doing much in colleges and universities?
Lots in colleges. So we do well in that space. Not so much in universities because, you know, we'll be very honest about our product, and we're not wayfinding and we're not touchscreen. We're just, you know, easy to upload full screen content. So not so much for universities. We've got a few, but we definitely do well in the college space.
Yeah, I guess once you get into the larger footprint universities with campuses and everything else, you need to get into directory systems and everything else that does get more complicated.
Yeah. Again, we don't want to pretend what we're not, and we won't be. So although we have a few colleges, we tend to be in specific places. We're not for bus timetables or things like that. Again, we're for full screen content that's marketing specific events to the students.
How big is your company at this point?
We're still pretty small. So there's 7 of us. Mm-hmm. And we're heading towards 8 next year.
And you could do that sort of thing, particularly these days. You could be virtual and you can scale up and scale down as you need, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, we're very lucky. We're self-funded. We work extremely hard to make sure that we don't need to go down the route of investment and having the pressure of, you know, a board of people telling us what to do. We want to keep that kind of closeness and that honesty of the company. And grow organically. Of course, we'd like to grow quicker, but we want to make sure our organic growth is honest towards our customers. So yeah, we're still small, but we've got aspirations to grow in the next 5 years, that's for sure.
And what would be your installed base? Like, how would you describe that? Are you in hundreds of schools, thousands of schools?
Yeah, we're in hundreds of schools. Currently, we've got about 1,300 screens live in UK education at the moment.
Mm-hmm. As you said, you'd love to be able to grow that more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we always, you know, me and Ben, when we were in Wales having 6 years ago, thinking, where should we take the direction of the company? because of what we'd seen in education, we knew we could become the number one signage company for education, because that's all we focus on. You know, you won't see a drop down on our website and it says retail and restaurant and this and that and this and that, because that's not honest and that doesn't work for education. So for us, we want to become the number one digital signage platform made, and I always stick on the made because that's important, made for education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that I have coached endless numbers of people around, is if you have a digital signage platform, go out into the marketplace as a generalist offer, because there are already too many of them. You need to find your niche. You need to find your tribe and say, we're the guys for this, and it's what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's very hard as well, because if you're a new company, or again, you've had investment, you're going to have to go after every market. Unless, I mean, in the US it's probably different. You know, you see people like Rise Vision, that it's a huge market in the US, and probably, you know, more so Canada. So education, you've probably got more option to grow quicker. Here in the UK, although we've still got 35,000 education establishments, you know, again, it's a long sell with customers. Again, you know, they can take anywhere up to 3 months, 6 months to purchase your product. So there's a lot of time investment in there. So, you know, I think it's different potentially, you know, in places like the US, as I said, where you're trying to mop up as much traffic as possible to grow your business as quickly as possible. Yeah.
I think I know the answer, but I'll ask, have you thought about coming to North America, or you've got more than enough to grow in the UK for some time?
Well, we do have US customers.
Okay.
So, you know, we do business and education actually, but they tend to, again, come to us because they like that easy solution, that ease of use. You know, we do have links in the US with distributors like Exertis, who were distributed in the UK. Have relationships with people like Promethean and Smart, have knocked on the door a few times and asked us what we're up to. But it's a different setup in the US when it comes to education, and we're aware of that. And the language differs slightly, so we're aware of that as well. So it's not our focus, but if someone comes along and says, you know, you've got an easy to use platform, can we sign up and use you? We're like, absolutely, you can.
One thing that's been around for a long, long time with digital signage and education, particularly on the digital out-of-home advertising side, is the idea of these screens can pay for themselves if you would just allow advertising on them, or at least have the screen sponsored by, I don't know, British Telecom or O2 or something like that. It has that been explored at all, or would that just be a hard no from the education people?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely people, as you know, doing it in the commercial space, you know, and now platforms that allow you to, you know, via an app, say, I would like my, pizza business advertised on there 3 times a week, just directly billed. It's definitely a conversation we've had at directors meetings, but it doesn't feel right to us.
Yeah.
Education is education. If I speak to some of my close head teachers, for them, it's about the children and nothing else. So they wouldn't want to have these discussions in the first place, because it's more about putting up the work of the children that day to make sure they feel proud. So conversations that have been had, but we would stay away from those conversations fairly quickly.
Yeah, it would be interesting, I think, for things like sponsorships or almost like donations in the same way that maybe a company donates a new playground for a schoolyard, that sort of thing, that you would imagine in areas of the country, maybe up in the north, that don't have the same wealth and resources and everything else, that maybe that would be a way to get these systems going.
Yeah, potentially. It just gets messy, I think. That's the problem. You know, it's the focus is making sure that the customer understands what signage can do first and foremost, and making sure they have a platform that's easy to use, so that when we talk to them about what they're to, they love the platform. Going to them to talk about how they might make money on advertising from, you know, companies advertising on the screens Yeah, it's almost as confusing as just simply trying to get signage running on an interactive screen, which sounds easy, but actually even that is completely a different conversation with schools sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask about the name. I did look up Trilby and see that it's in America, it would be called a pork pie hat. It's Trilby is a hat, right?
Yeah. If we were doing video, Dave, I would have worn my Trilby today. There is meaning behind this, and Ben would certainly be able to give you that more. There's an article on the website that explains it as well. But from a simple point of view, Ben's dad, Tony, bless him, who's no longer with us, was a Trilby hat wearer. And at our old offices in Birmingham, we had two lines of hats on the walls, and he used to pick those between different ones regularly and wear those. And it's nice because it's tactile. You know, again, I go to lots of school training and they'll be like, oh, where's your hat? Because they expect you to wear the hat. And I think senior leadership at schools and colleges like that tactile approach as well. They don't so much like those cleaner, techie type names. They like something that feels a bit familiar to them.
All right. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. If people want to look you up, where would they find you online?
www.trilbytv.co.uk.
All right. Thank you very much.
Dave, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.